Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur Medaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Yom Tov, Masechet Beitzah Daf Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah, which is about two thirds of the way down the Amud. This is Mishnah, the middle of Mishnah Hey in this the fifth parak, and it is continuing with the theme of Tchum Bor Shel Yachid. If you have a cistern owned by an individual, the water takes on the tchum of that individual. If it's owned by the city, then it takes on the city's tchum. Those public cisterns that we studied about in the second parak of Masechet Eruvin, follow the tchum of the individual who has taken water from there. So Rami Le Rav al Rav Nachman, Rav challenged his Rebbe with the following. Tan Bor Shachid Kiragle Achid, our Mishnah. Or Amina, we have a challenge. Now, if you have rivers that flow and springs that are bubbling, as it were, they follow the person who is collecting the water. So Amar Rabba, his answer is, that we're talking, in our case, about water that has been gathered into one place, reservoir. And therefore, in our case, the Bor Shel Yachid, the water is not only owned by the individual, but really controlled by him. It's in a cistern, and therefore it takes on his tchum identity. However, with flowing water, it takes on the identity and the tchum of whoever draws the water. Okay, let's say that you took water from a public cistern that's out there for pilgrims, and you give it to another person. Rav Nachman says it follows the tchum of the fellow on whose behalf it was drawn, meaning the recipient. But a little more of a strict construction, reads that it follows the tchum of the fellow who drew the water. What's the note of their machloket, the source of their machloket? Marsavar, beira defkerahu, marsavar beira deshutfihu. So one possibility is that Rav Nachman holds that the boar is really hefker, and therefore it really doesn't have any identity, and therefore the minute that somebody takes possession of the water, it takes on his identity. Umar Savar Berodesh Shutfihu, Rav Sheish will say that the boar is really a boar of Shutafim, and therefore the minute that one person draws the water, it takes on his identity, and he gives it to somebody else, it hasn't lost that original identity. Eitave Rav Lav Nachman, so Rav challenged this. Hareini Alecha Cherem Hamudar Asur, this is just dealing with nomenclature and how you forbid somebody onto your own property or how you forbid yourself onto somebody else's property in a neder. If you say that both you and you to my property, me to your property, then neither one can benefit from each other. But they're allowed to benefit from that which is of the public. But they're not allowed to benefit from things which are of that city, because they are also members of that city, and therefore they're benefiting from each other. What are the public things? Har habayit, halashachot, vazarot, all things related to the mikdash, that's public, national. Bor shel emtza derech, the cistern that's out in the middle of the road. What belongs to the city? Harachov, the plaza. Uveit hakneset, the shul. Uveit hamerchatz, the bathhouse. Now, v'yamar beir deshutvihu, but if you hold that the bor of olei bavel is of shutafin, amai mutar. Why is this person who has sworn off benefit from the other fellow in the city, why is allowed to get benefit? After all, he's benefiting from the other guy's water as well. V'atnan, and you'll see, ashut afin shenadru hanazim izeh, if you take a neder, partners take a nidre hanah from each other. This, by the way, is never a good idea. Asurim v'kanes l'chatzer l'chotz b'bavor, you're not allowed to go into the chatzer, to go into the boar that's commonly owned, because that's benefiting from the other fellow. So the answer we give is the chotz hachinami. Indeed, to bathe, you can't, because you're bathing in all of the water. Hachamayaskin and lavalot. Here we're talking about filling up water. Marmi didei kam mali, marmi didei kam mali. And we're playing a little bit with the issue of breira. And each person who's filling up water will now say is filling up from his half. So he's not benefiting from the other fellow. Masavra of Nachman ish breira, since when of Nachman subscribe to breira? In Masechet Shkalim, we learned that you are obligated to bring a kolbon if two separate entities are bringing their machzir shekel together as one shekel. They have to pay an extra kolbon. But if, on the other hand, one person is paying for himself and, let's say, his son, and it's coming from a common fund, then there is no chiyuv kalbon. On the other hand, ma'aser behema only applies when you are a sole owner and not a partner. So now, if you have brothers who are partners, if their partnership is of the sort where they owe a kalbon, which means they're really separate owners, then they are now exempt from ma'aser behema, from the flock that they got from their father. On the other hand, if they're chayiv and ma'aser behema, that means that they are original owners. Therefore, p'tumin ha'kalbon, it's coming from one estate. Ve'amar Ravanan. Ravanan said, lo shana lo shachaku, dayim keneged tlaim, tlaim keneged dayim. That's only if they split by saying, you take the male goats and I'll take the female goats, or vice versa. But if they split up the property by saying, you take half of the goats and I'll take half the goats, you take half the female goats and I'll take half of the female goats, then, or half of the lambs and take half the lambs, then basically it means this is the original percentage that I was intended to get. In other words, Rav Hanan says yesh breira, and therefore in that case we would say that I am not a buyer. Rav Nachman Amar afilu chakuk daim keneged daim tlaim keneged tlaim. He said no, even if you divide it by saying I'll take 50% of the goats and you take 50%, I'll take 50% of the lambs and you take 50%. We still don't say this was the original 50% that was coming to me. In other words, Rav Nachman holds Ein Breira, which means that Rav Nachman versus Rav Sheshet can't be about the question about whether this boar is shel shutafim or shel hefker, because saying that Rav Nachman holds that this boar is a joint property then doesn't explain why you're allowed to take from it and have it be your independent chum, because as if you were mudar hana, you could not benefit from it. Elo d'chuli amaber d'efkeri. You have to go back and say everyone holds the cistern is hefker. Elo hacham like via metzia lechaver al kavi palgi. It's a question really that belongs to Baba Metzia. If you pick up a metzia on behalf of somebody else, marsavar kana marsavar lo kana. Rav Nachman says that the acquisition is valid, which means when I draw water for you, it's yours, and therefore it takes on your chum. And Rav Sheshet says, no, when I draw water, it's mine. And even if I drew it for you, it's still mine. Then I can give it to you. But that means the first kinyan was to me, and therefore the tchum takes on my identity. Okay, the next Mishnah, this is Mishnah Vav. Mishayu perotav, somebody had fruit, b'ir acheret. V'arvu b'nei otah ir lahavi atzlom perotav. And the people of that other city, very nice people, made an eruv tchumin in order to create a connection between where your fruit is and where you are. Lo yaviolo, they can't bring it to him. V'merav hu perotav kamohu. But if he made the Eruv, then the Perot follow him, meaning the Perot belong to him. And therefore, their making an Eruv to connect doesn't help his Perot, which is still bound by the Eruv of that city, or the identity of that city and where the Perot are. Misha Zemein Etzlo Orchim, Lo Yolichu Biyadam Manot, if somebody invited guests, they should not take food home from there. Unless he made a kinyan on their behalf before Yom Tov and said, I'm going to give this cake to this guy, and I'm going to give these pastries to this guy, and I'm going to give this sausage to this guy, and made a kinyan for them before Yom Tov, and then they can take them, in which case it follows their tchum. And again, it's a tchum problem. Itmar, hamafkid perot etzel chavero, if you entrust perot with another, ravamar karaglei mishi hifkidulo. Rav says it takes on the tchum of the shomer. Shmuel amar kraglei mafkid. Shmuel says it takes on the tchum of the mafkid, of the owner. So leimer Rav Shmuel does do the tamayu. It sounds like they're following their own reasoning in another machloket. Nan im yichnis pershut balachatzer chayav. Let's say you put animals into somebody's backyard with his permission. The owner of the chatzer is chayav for any damages that they cause. Rebbe omer le'olamino chayavachkira alav balabait lishmor. Rebbe says, no, the fact that I allow you to put your animals in my backyard doesn't mean I took responsibility for their damages until I actually say so. Rav says that we follow Chachamim, which means that when somebody takes on Shmirah, they really become an owner. And therefore, for Tchum, the same thing. Shmuel says, Halacha is like Rebbe, which means you're not an owner until you explicitly say so. And so therefore, it takes on the Tchum of the owner. So Leimer Rav Demar Karvan Shmuel Demar Karebi. So Amar Lach Rav. Rav's answer is going to be Ana Damri Afil Rebbe. My position on Tchum would even work according to Rebbe. Ad Kan Lo Kam Rebbe Hatam. Rebbe said what he did, that the fellow who has the backyard is not responsible until he says, "I'll take responsibility for Nezikin." The default is you don't accept responsibility until you say so. Here, you accept the responsibility. You're a shomer. That's being a shomer is. So therefore, Rebbe would agree that it belongs to the shomer's tchum. Shmuel could say that even Rabbanan would agree with me that it takes on the owner's tchum. Ad kan lo kam Rabbanan hatam. I, the owner of the animal, would much prefer that it goes under the domain of the bell fellow of the chatzer, the mazik lelo mechayev, because if he does damages, I'm not liable, and if he damages property of the bal chatzer, I'm not liable because he took responsibility. But here, the owner isn't interested in the shomer really having possession of the peirot; it's his peirot, and therefore it should take on the tchum of the owner. We said in the Mishnah that if in this case with the distance, if you make your own eruv tchumin, that's when they made an eruv from the other city coming to you. If you made your own eruv, then your perot follow your own eruv. And if you're going to argue, as it did Rav, that the perot take on the identity of the shomer, why does it help for the owner from a distance to make an eruv? Often that other city, you had your perot in a special corner, and so therefore it takes on the identity. The second part of our Mishnah, so the Mishnah Zayin, Elin Kain, Zikalehem Manotem Erev Yom Tov. You have to be mezake, you have to give them ownership before Yom Tov. And again, if you hold like Rav, what does it help to be mezakeh to them? It's still not in their property. So the fact that you made a kinyan via a third party on Erev Yom Tov on their behalf, it's like putting it in a special corner for them. Or perhaps the very fact that you're mezakeh for them already puts it in a different category. Now, Rav Chana bar Chanila tala bisra bi'ivra didasha. He put some meat up on top of the door. Ata lekame de Ravuna, amarle. So he said, iatalit. If that meat was yours and you put it up there, zil shokil, you could take it. It's not from. It's inside your tchum. Vinu talulach. But if other people put it for you, lo tishkol. And then you can't take it. Viu lo tala mishakil. But if he hung it up there, who is going to take it? Vah Ravuna, tell me. Since when is he allowed to take it? Vah Ravuna, tell me de Rav Habe. Ravuna was himself. Who answered the question was a student of Rav. Yama Rav, and what did Rav say? Kiraglei mishif kidu etzlo. That the perot take on the tchum of the shomer. So what does it help that it's his p'tzaf? Shani ibar didasha to mishiechad lakiran zavitani. Putting it up on top of the door is kind of like a special corner. Amar Rav Hillel, Rav Ashi. This is, of course, neither Hillel, the Ashe, this is not certainly not the Hillel Zaken, as we know. Rav Hillel said to Rav Ashi, "V'inu talu leilo shakil." What if Amar Shmuel shor shapatam reiv kiraglei kol adam? We saw this ruling earlier. Shor shapatam means a shor that's in the domain of the fellow's fattening it up, belongs to everybody. Meaning, if when you come and buy stuff from him and get something on Yom Tov, it follows your tchum. So why can't this fellow take it? Rav Ashi, "V'inu talu leilo shakil." Again, if they put it up, why can't he take it? Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Doso says you're allowed to. And again, same question. It belongs to the owner. So the fact that other people put it there for you, it's yours. The answer is it was a unique case. He is a gavur rabba. He was very involved in his learning. And this is what Rav Huna said to him. If you put it up there, then you've got a siman. And you haven't been Mesiach Dat, and you knew it was there the whole time, Zil Shkol, you could take it. But if other people put it up for you, then Mascha Datach, you weren't paying any attention, Velo Tishkol, which means you didn't have any intent to have it be Konesh Vita there, and you can't take it. So it's a unique case. Okay, the end of the Mishnah, the final Mishnah, Ein Mashkin V'Shochtin Etam Midbariot. You cannot give water to or shecht wild animals, literally desert animals. Mashkin V'Shochtin Etam Beitiot. But you may do that with the domesticated animals. Elon Beitiot or Beitiot, what are the domestic animals? Halanot Ba'ir, those that sleep in the city. Midbariot, Halanot Ba'efer, those that are wild are the ones that sleep out in the hinterlands. Now, Lama the Memar Shkun Shochtin, by the way, why mention you can give water to Anshecht So miltai gavorchei kamashplan, it teaches you something, by the way, which is de lishki inish behemto v'hadol ishchot. It's good to give water to your animal before shchita. Why? Mishum sircha demashcha. Actually makes it easier to flay the skin. Tan Rabbanan, Eloin midbariot ve'eloin beitiot. What are midbariot? What are beitiot? Midbariot is kol sheyotzot b'pesach, v'ot ba'efer v'nichasot b'rviya rishona. Animals that go out to graze in the beginning of the spring, and they graze out there the whole summer, and they come back with the first rains. And beitiot, what are beitiot? Kol sheyotzot v'ot chutz l'tchum, they graze outside of the tchum, v'ot v'lanot b'toch ha'tchum, but they sleep inside tchum every night. Even in the summer, Rabbi Omar Elu Elu Baitiotin. Rabbi says those are all domestic. Ela Elu Eni Bariot. What are the wild ones or the outside ones? Kol Shiotzot for Ot Ba'efer. They graze outside. They never come into the yeshuv. Neither the Rabbi Muktza. So that means Rabbi holds Muktza because the Midbariot are Muktza, and that's why you can't shech them because they're not Muchan. They're not something that's in your purview. Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi Mi Rabbi. Rabbi's son asked him. Patzilei Tamaralu Rabbi Shimon Mahu. He asked him about whether or not you're allowed to, on Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Shimon, whether you're allowed to take these kind of dates that never get fully ripe. And they take them off of the tree and they make them into certain kelim, and they put them into kelim and they get ripened in there. Are you allowed to eat them on Yom Tov? Which means, can we consider them muktza? And Marlo, ein muktza the Rabbi Shimon, Ela grogorod v'tzimukin bilvad. Famously, Rabbi Shimon only accepts the idea of muktzo with things in your maktze biyadayim, like putting grapes out to become raisins or figs to become dried figs. Otherwise, there's no muktzo, and therefore these things are not muktzo. So it sounds like Rabbi follows Rabbi Shimon. Sounds like. Yibayite, must have three answers. Hanamim or govitzimukin dami. That these unripe, that the midbariot are really like grogorod v'tzimukin because they're really totally out of your bounds. Perhaps in this case he was only answering according to Rabbi Shimon. Because his son asked him, according to Rabbi Shimon, what would be the halacha? He didn't ask him, what's the halacha? Perhaps it's the opposite. Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon, and in the context of the Midbariot, he was responding to Rabbanan in their framework. Ledidi and Muktza. I hold like Rabbi Shimon and Muktza. Eladichu, odulimia. At least agree with me that if they come in and sleep during part of the year inside the tchum, that they're still called domestic, and that the wild animals are only those. As if you want to have muktzah, at least they should only be the ones that never come into the yeshuv. And the Rabbanan answered, no, those are called Midbariot, and Beitiot are only the ones that every night sleep within the Tchum. Hadron Alach Mishilin, or Mishirin, or Mashchilin, or Manshirin. We have the different versions at the beginning of the Perek. Hadron Alach Mishilin, Perot, Uvislika, Masachet Beitzah. Baruch Hashem, we've completed our study of Masachet Beitzah, Masachet Yom Tov together. Miyotz Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll begin our study of Masachet Rosh Hashanah, with the four different Rashi Shanim. In the meantime, Chen Chen Lo Raite Shakoach to all who have studied together with us. We should rejoice upon our completion of the study of Masechet Yom Tov and continue with our study of Daf Yomi together for many years to come. Be'ezrat Hashem.